It's not just changing the colour of your eyes. What is the slim, thick body look for women now? A new study says it's harmful. Dr. Jennifer Mills is a professor in charge of the psychology graduate program at York University in Toronto. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
What is slim, thick, please?
A graduate student of mine brought it to my attention. We were having a lab meeting, and we were talking about different research projects that we had on the go, and she said, oh, you know, we should do a study about the slim, thick. So with a lot of things, I learn about, you know, culture, pop culture, cultural trends through my graduate students who are mostly in their 20s. So she proceeded to explain that the slim, thick was this new body ideal that women want to look like. They want to have a body shape like Kim Kardashian or Kylie Jenner. And it wasn't just men who were saying, oh, we find this attractive. It was actually women saying, no, this is what we want our bodies to look like. It's not just about being as thin as possible anymore. It's about having this exaggerated hourglass shape where you have a very, very small waist and a large butt and usually large breasts as well kind of go along with it. So there's this exaggerated hourglass shape to it. And in fact, the first time that I saw it was actually in video games. I have three sons who play video games. And so when I heard about it, I thought, oh, yeah, that's the body shape that I've seen in, you know, Fortnite or whatever games they might play. So it showed up in avatars of women in video games probably around the same time that it started showing up in social media. The posts of body images that were getting the most likes or the most positive commentary from users were the ones that have or feature this slim, thick shape. If you're on Instagram, if you're on TikTok, those kinds of social media apps are full of imagery of the slim, thick body ideal that is so popular now.
So curves in the right places, in inverted commas. Are we seeing a return to the days of 36, 24, 36, which is an expression I plucked from the recesses of my brain because I remember it was a popular instrumental song in the 1960s.
Yeah. It sort of depends on the height of the woman, what those measurements would actually look like. Because that could still be a very slim woman if she's tall. But yeah, it's the idea that curves, as you say, curves in the right places is what women want to look like. And so now we're seeing that there's, you know, trends that coincide with this toward things like plastic surgery. Butt implants, butt lifts are popular cosmetic surgeries, and even non-surgical things like waist trainers, which are basically like corsets, have kind of made a comeback, and women can cinch themselves into Velcroed waist trainers to try to shrink their waists and give them that hourglass or slim, thick look. I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and at that time, of course, it was the waif look. It was on the other end of the spectrum. It was the super thin ideal, the sort of Kate Moss body type that was glamorized and was featured in all kinds of fashion and beauty magazines and videos and the like. And that was certainly unhealthy and was linked to drive for weight loss and in some cases even eating disorders. We're not sure really what is going to become of women's behaviors in this new day and age where the slim thick is the new ideal. It's you can't diet your way to the slim thick because you're not going to put on weight in the right places. In some ways, and this is what our research is now focused on, in some ways it's even more dangerous or more harmful than the thin ideal because you have to go to really drastic, extreme lengths. It's just not a natural body type. Women who are prone to putting on more body fat, even in their hips and breasts, they don't not put on body fat in their waist. There's no way to, you know, lose weight in a particular body part, contrary to what diet culture and exercise culture will tell you. So I guess the clinician part of me is worried as to what this might do to women in terms of drastic measures to try to emulate this ideal.
How many women would resort to those measures, I suppose, is the obvious question, Jennifer. I mean, if it's that tortuous to achieve the look, is it only really going to be celebrities who, you know, amass followers and money by doing it?
Right. Or, indeed, is it going to be apps that do it for us? I mean, people can Photoshop their body to look just about any way they want it to. You can create this false image of yourself that you put out there. And what effect does that have on women, right, to become kind of disconnected to what they actually look like? I mean, you could argue that maybe it's good. Women have control over the images that they put out of themselves. Maybe that leads to confidence. I'm not so sure. I don't think we have any evidence that it actually makes people feel better or that the slim thick is in any way body positive. I think, on the contrary, it's even more unattainable for the vast majority of women. Most women between the ages of puberty and 30 years old, let's say, they're bombarded with images of idealized body types. It used to be fashion and beauty magazines and TV and movies. Now it's social media as well as those other things. And so for some women, they're relatively resilient, I guess you could say, to those kinds of images. They don't internalize the idea that they have to look like that to feel good about themselves, or they have to look like that to be desirable. They may derive self-esteem from other things in their lives, like their friendships or sports or school or work. But for a subset of vulnerable women, their self-esteem is entirely dependent on their body, and more specifically how they think other people are reacting to their body. So it's not the majority of women who are going to go and develop body image problems or an eating disorder, but it's a sizable number who do. It's clinically significant and meaningful. And even if they don't go on to develop an eating disorder, it just takes up a lot of brain space, right? Like, you know, when we talk to young women in our research studies, it's just an enormous burden that they carry around, that they're always thinking about their body and they're always thinking about how they look in photos and on social media posts, and they're always thinking about what they should be eating and what they shouldn't be eating. So it saps a lot of their mental resources.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Even if you are relatively impervious to the messages, which let's assume the majority of women will be, it must have a wider self-esteem effect generally.
Absolutely, yeah. And then when women's bodies do change as they get older or they get pregnant or they go through menopause, then it becomes, you know, even more, well, I shouldn't say even more devastating, but it becomes another kind of adjustment. Like, I have to adjust to living in a body that is now so far removed from the young, thin, fit, slim, thick ideal. And fortunately, as women get older, they seem to be more resilient and less susceptible to feeling like they have to look a certain way. They place less importance on their bodies, but it still does affect them. I talk to women who are closer to my age now, about to go through menopause or recently through menopause, and they're really upset at the way that their body changes, and they go through, you know, this kind of like a resurgence of body dissatisfaction that they might not have experienced in decades, kind of brings them back to, you know, being a teenager and feeling upset when you can't fit into your clothes, or you've gone up a size, or the number on the scale is very different than what you're used to. So do men go through that? Probably to some extent, but not nearly as much as women.
Yeah, I was going to mention the men. How did you run your study? Can you tell us?
Yeah, that was an experimental study that was run on undergraduate students. And we had to put together a kind of fake Instagram account. So it wasn't a real Instagram account, but we took photos from publicly available Instagram accounts from people that we had been told by young people who were known as influencers in the social media world and who are known for and really become famous for their bodies. And so there was one kind of profile that met the thin ideal standard. There was one that was the fit ideal standard and one that was the slim thick standard. And the participants had to view lots of photographs of that influencer in different poses from her account. And they were asked specifically to compare themselves. And this is an interesting piece of the experimental side of things. And so what we've found is that if you don't ask them to compare themselves, there's a lot more variability in the results because people can be distracted, they can tune out, they can be focused on something else while they're doing the study. We want them to really tune in and look at the pictures in a way that mimics that type of social comparison process that women tell us that they sometimes engage in, particularly on social media. So they compare themselves to these images, and then we ask them for a second time how they're feeling about themselves. We weren't sure what was going to happen with the slim thick. We thought, well, on the one hand, it kind of is more body positive because it's a curvier body, it's a larger body, it's not a stick thin body that you would have to diet to achieve. But that wasn't what we found. On the contrary, they felt just as bad, if not worse, about themselves when they had to look at the slim thick images. And then the fit ideal also made people feel worse about themselves, but not as much as the thin ideal or the slim thick. So if women are high on perfectionism, then they're going to feel worse about themselves after looking at the slim thick ideal. I think ours is maybe the first published study or among the first published studies to even mention the slim thick ideal. I think it's going to start showing up in a lot more research. And the takeaway message for us was that we have to adjust as researchers to what we think of as the body ideal that women most aspire to. We can't just assume that women are still aspiring to the body type that they did in the 1990s, right? That things change and social media has completely changed the landscape and made it so much more intense, you know, like it's relentless. You know, if you're picking up a fashion and beauty magazine 20 years ago, it's not like you'd pick it up. It's not like you'd carry it around in your back pocket, right? And pick it up and look at it every 10 minutes. But this is what's happening on social media. They're looking at it almost all the time.
Is there a question over self-reportage? I mean, the women know what they're in the study for in general terms. So it makes them feel worse when they see slim thick. How much worse? I mean, just fleetingly glum, do you think? Or is it a sense of inferiority that embeds? You're suggesting it embeds because social media are always available to poke your head into and have a look.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, when we do these experimental studies, we do them this way so that we have the ultimate amount of control over all the different variables. So we use random assignment and control groups and other aspects of good experimental research design. In the real world, there's a cumulative effect, right? Imagine a young girl or a young woman who is looking at this kind of social media feed and picking up her phone to do so 10 times a day, 20 times a day, maybe more. Most people, when they participate, they want to help. They want to give accurate responses.
Have we just been pandering to the idea of naturally shaped and larger sized women? There seemed to be a sea change, but the tyranny of fashion still seems to be there now.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some people ask me about the body positivity movement, the health at every size movement, which I think is great. The fact that we're seeing more diversity in body shapes. We're seeing more diversity in things that, in my opinion, are really important, like online shopping sites. For example, in Canada, if I want to go and buy a pair of jeans from The Gap, I can go onto their website and I can see the jeans that I'm thinking about on different body types, which I think is brilliant, right? Like, I don't know why it took them so long to figure out that women want to see clothes on a body that looks more like their own. There seems to be a more accepting or inclusive attitude towards bodies of different shapes and sizes. But I think we have to be careful. The slim thick is not that.
Aside from how badly you might feel about your own body, and of course men aren't immune from this now either, there is only one way to achieve that kind of shape, and that's with an awful lot of effort and, as you say, maybe even plastic surgery. And the thing is, you can't keep that shape forever, can you? And then all manner of sadness and remorse might kick in. I don't know.
Yeah, I was talking to someone who knows a woman who used a waist trainer when she went on a vacation, and she wanted to look good, quote unquote, what she labeled as good, in a bikini. So she wore this waist trainer for a few weeks before her vacation. And the first day of her vacation, she took it off and put on the bikini and took some selfies and was feeling really good about herself and was feeling really confident about the way that she looked. But it doesn't last. Like, your body goes back to what it normally looks like. The effects aren't permanent. So by the end of the week, she said she felt worse than she did even before she bought the waist trainer, because again, it kind of messed with her sense of consistency of body size. Like, she'd seen her waist smaller, and now it was even more discouraging because it was going back to a softer, more natural shape.
And slim thick appeals to a greater number of women across ethnic backgrounds. That's the other aspect we haven't talked about yet, whereas the thin ideal did not, Jennifer?
Correct. So most of the participants on our study were not white. They came from all kinds of different ethnic backgrounds. The slim thick ideal appeals to a broader grouping of women from a more diverse range of ethnic backgrounds, whereas the thin ideal, it's still not the preferred ideal, even among white women, but it's more preferred by white women than women of color.
Right. Well, there's evidence on both Insta and TikTok of the popularity of the slim thick images, maybe hundreds of millions of tags and posts. So just in conclusion, what are your solutions for this? Are there any?
Young people have told us that they're taking breaks from social media. They're actually aware of when it's becoming too much. And so if they can become cognizant of negative mood, negative body image, anxiety that result from social media use, they can take a self-imposed break from it, which is great. And I think the algorithms are problematic for women who are vulnerable to body dissatisfaction and depression because of the concentrated nature of the images that they get in their feed, right? So the more you look at something, the more of it you get. Some of the responsibility should be on the social media apps and policy around algorithms so that people consent to and understand what they're giving permission to see. Like, you should have a say in what you're being shown. That's my hope, is that we can get better at giving people control over that.
And that's a nice hope, but it also sounds in some ways like bailing against the deluge because of, you know, the ubiquity of these images. I mean, it used to be said that it was a tyranny of the men in charge of the fashion houses, and certainly it's that great marketing machine using what they regard as well-shaped women to sell things. So none of that's going away. It's just changing. It's just changing shape. It's morphing.
It's changing shape. I like that. Pun intended, right? And
unintended,
so that this exaggerated body type of slim thick gets people's attention, right? And it gets eyeballs on it. And if you have eyeballs on something, then that can make people more money. The influencers themselves are probably making some money. I mean, they have a financial incentive as well to showcase their bodies and make money off of the way they look. There's a whole machine behind it too.
Always a machine in the background. Thank you very much for your study and for being able to talk to us, Jennifer.
My pleasure.